Hello, Sagittarius, and welcome to all of us here, your 2021 annual reading. It is good to be with you here as we reach the end of the zodiac, almost there. Sagittarius, one of the later signs, which addresses some pretty deep and complex issues. By the time we get to Sagittarius, we are in the realm of what is very large. As I've said and love to say in any Sagittarius reading, the sign Sag is one of the, it is the only one that contains physical elements, at least that I know of, that are permanent, pretty much at our time in history, that describe what the sign is about. And those physical elements are a point called the Great Attractor, which is the central focus point of our local universe, approximately 100,000 galaxies, all being drawn to a pool of subatomic particles located right in the middle of Sagittarius. And then, more locally, closer to home, is the core of our galaxy, located at about 27 degrees, though the galaxy itself just kind of sprawls out through the entire sign Sagittarius and beyond, though the center is in Sag at about 27 degrees. And neither of these points are used regularly by astrology. I reckon not very often thought of by most astrologers, and yet there they are. And there is this living metaphor of our origins and the mystery of our being emanating from your sign. And this puts you in an unusual position because you can and often do feel like a visitor here, like the stranger in a strange land. That idea, I believe, first uttered by Moses and then by Robert Heinlein and then by Bono, because the activities of this world are so different from what you hold as your ideals, for what you understand to be true, for your consciousness of what this life is about. And the world is involved in such a constant, needless strife and agony, almost all of which is the result of either fear, separation consciousness, or the thing that seems to be the product when you multiply fear by separation consciousness, which is greed. And you're more oriented on the innate spiritual quality of existence, and I think moreover are driven by the mystery of existence. And so therefore, what do you do in this life? How do you approach that understanding in a world where, you know, people think nothing of starting a fight over whether their latte has enough foam or not, and can't seem to understand any idea that might exceed their own personal knowledge or their own personal perception, even. And the reality is you do your best, and you have your own way of scaling things down to a manageable level where you can bring your creativity into this world of space and time, and into the kinds of relationships that it's possible to have here. But I think never really accepting what happens on Earth as being any kind of an ultimate or bottom line of reality. And this is a, you know, product of being someone who is fully imbued with cosmic fire. And not everyone expresses this in a spiritually whole way. There are a lot of negative ways to express this, shadowy ways to express this, and harmful ways to express this, though as a person who is concerned with ethics, who is concerned with the nature of relationships, and who feels that you have a mission here, you have to make your way with purpose and with understanding while you are caught in the limitations of this world and simultaneously aware of the limitless quality of existence. So it is not an easy path to be a Sagittarius or a Sagittarius rising, and there are probably a lot of things that you want to change. And things are changing now. They are changing in large ways. They are changing in ways that are on the level of a grand design of some kind, which is happening right in front of our faces. It's being announced by the people who are doing it. There is very little that is not known, not being revealed. Very little that's actually secret. And yet, due to the denial factor, can make people very angry to contemplate it, to notice it, to see it, to recognize it for what it is, to hear someone even mention that there is something happening that is not in the favor of the vast, vast majority of the human race. And so as you do in all times, but never with more urgency or purpose or meaning, you get to use your time, your energy, and your bandwidth to make the world a better place. You do this in the ways that you are capable, and also must stretch your capabilities, because that's what is called for now. And the first capability to stretch is your relationship to fear, which has, become, in a sense, the official global religion. And this is in blatant denial of the true power and beauty of what people are capable of and of the human experience and of our capacity to create and to heal and to love. Your ruling planet changes signs about once a year, and it has done something rather unusual, which it has changed signs concurrently with the planet Saturn, and the two formed a conjunction on the day that the sun left your sign and entered Capricorn. That was on 12/21, and this is an initiation for you. It is a call to participation and to conscience for you. It's a call to action. And it comes with some guidance and some instructions. So in terms of planetary transits, let's start with that. Let's start with what has just happened and what is going to be in effect for quite a while, though we have a very special 5 months coming up with both Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius. About 5 months. And then that resumes again for one last bit in the autumn, and then your ruling planet Jupiter moves on to Pisces. So while we're talking about Sagittarius, let's remember that your ruling planet is Jupiter, and it will go clear across the sign Aquarius in just 5 months. It entered Aquarius on 12/21, and it is going to, hold on, let me just dial this in IOSprite, and it is going to enter Pisces, the other domicile. It's called the other sign that is ruled by Jupiter. So that's called the domicile, like the home of. Okay, so the first thing that happens is Jupiter entered Aquarius and made a conjunction to Saturn. That's a one-time-only thing. It happens once every 20 years. It has not happened in Aquarius since 1405. There is new territory being opened up for you because of this profound conjunction in Aquarius, your third house. And the message here, as has been often said but so rarely followed, is to think globally and to act locally. So Sagittarius always wants to think globally. That is its whole job, is to be the planet of what is planetary on our planet. And in fact, in the system of esoteric astrology that was brought in and given to us by Alice A. Bailey, approximately 1950, the Earth is a planet that rules Sagittarius. So there's a connection in this alternative form of more spiritually centered astrology than what we usually get from the typical, a connection between the Earth and Sagittarius, which is interesting and exciting because Sagittarius is the home of the Great Attractor in the galactic center. It is ruled in classical astrology by Jupiter, the largest planet, with something like 70 moons, some of which are quite comparable to the Earth. The satellites of Jupiter are comparable to the Earth we live on. And then in esoteric astrology, there's a relationship between the Earth and Sagittarius. And so we get that local, global thing going on, you know, right inherently, you know, woven in, inborn into the reality of Sagittarius. And so the cool thing about this conjunction in Aquarius is that it fully activates the local angle of your chart. The local angle means the house that addresses all matters that take place in your immediate community and in your immediate group of, like, brothers, sisters, cousins, and friends. It's a scaled-down version of Aquarius. It's not the public version of Aquarius. It's the version of Aquarius where you know everyone by name, and if you don't know them by name, you're introduced immediately at the point where they enter your sphere of reality. And this is, it's one of the ways that you do this thing of having been born into this life with such unusual cosmic background, like literally the background, this sprawling, incredible thing known as our galaxy, and you have a natural affinity to get people together and to take part in community affairs. And now this is going at full strength, full steam. And the reason it's doing so is because these two huge planets have both entered Aquarius at the same time and formed a conjunction. And so this is a bit of turning water into wine in the sense of making something small larger, or you might say making something small full and operating at its full potential. And the, you know, implication here is that you are involved and that you are an initiator of this and that you are something of a gravitational force drawing this together, which is a very important thing to happen in our time when these very things that might happen in the third house, such as shopping in small stores, having backyard parties, block parties, and potluck dinners, have now all been turned into some form of a danger that is responded to emotionally by many people in a way that would be more appropriate for a school shooting, some kind of active shooter incident. And so this whole active shooter thing that was such a popular feature of the 21st century for so long has now basically been scaled into something that could be anyone, anywhere. And this is just a ridiculous way to relate to reality. I mean, the world is a hostile enough place, and everyone has the genetic memory of when we didn't have all these benefits of civilization. I don't turn up the heat in my apartment without remembering how hard it is to work a wood stove or to keep a campfire burning all night. And most of us have the option to just essentially push a button, sometimes on a remote control without even getting up off the couch. And if you think of what that represents, which is your ability to be sheltered from the elements, and how recently that happened, it seems ridiculous to think of this life we're living as dangerous as being stranded in the wilderness, and to respond with that much emotional energy. And so your broad vision of existence is the most important thing that you have to offer yourself and to others, and to invest your energy, all of your energy, into bringing this consciousness that you have in a way that is distinct and maybe singular and completely individual within the group of people that you know, because not everyone has tapped into this. Not everyone has this ability, has tapped into it. Not everyone cares, and many are caught up in the, you know, gimme thing, to teach us about existence, to teach us about the scale of the universe by acting in a way that is sensitive to that. It's not like you have to be talking about it all the time, but be aware of it all the time, to have that innate teaching of the nature of reality. And so you are first of all going to be called upon to bring this into being somewhere very close to home with many people that you already know. I think of the third house, in addition to being the house of writing and communication, is the house of the neighborhood. It extends from just beyond the garden walls and includes the personal homestead, out to walking distance or short driving distance. And one of the other signs I declared that you're in the third house as long as you're near your home, and that can include short driving distance, like not all the way to the next town, but short driving distance in your town when you know the names of the people that you are conducting commerce with. So this thing of knowing their names is an indicator of where you are on the map of reality. And the group, it looks like, is not a public thing. It's not a thing where there's like flyers hung up unless they're just hung up in the neighborhood. It is about in-person meeting and teaching humanity that is not only safe, but it is essential that we participate in in-person meeting. We be together, and you are one of the people who has the courage to draw people together and to not be cowed into thinking that your very brethren, your closest friends and neighbors, are in some way a threat to you. This is extremely distorted thinking. It is very dangerous, and it has no other purpose other than to turn people against one another. And so what you are really creating is a mode of thought and a pattern where people are in harmony, and where you are the most knowledgeable person about why that must be and how it must be, working from this thing that you are very good at, which is having a vision. Now, I say this knowing a good few Sagittarians who tend to live small lives, who are not interested in any form of leadership or necessarily much collaboration or anything, and who might want to participate, right? Who might want to take part in a way that does not ask too much of them. But a lot is being asked of all of us now, and a lot more is going to be taken unless we are able to hold our own. And holding our own means being able to establish the terms of our friendships, to establish the terms of our gathering. And much of this is going to involve people becoming autonomous around their health choices rather than subject to propaganda. So part of what your job is to do is to build a consensus with the people around you, to be someone who says, we need a consensus, to be someone who says, there is going to be grounding for that consensus in something that we will either all agree is true, or we'll either all agree sufficiently counters what is being shot at everyone from the outside world, the big version of the world, so big that most people don't conceive of it and can't conceive of like the leadership on the planetary level. But there are, in fact, leaders on the planetary level, many of whose names you don't know, and who are making constant choices that affect every single person. All we need is enough to note that, and to question whether it's the right thing. And this is not going to be for everyone. But Jupiter conjunct Saturn in your third house is like you saying, all right, it's time to get together. It's time to check this out and find out what's going on and how we really feel. And to have a check-in, communities serve a purpose. The purpose of communities is to support the people in the community. the purpose of civilization is to support the people in the civilization. And when the purpose of civilization becomes to simply take from, exploit, damage, harm, terrify, and kill, civilization has outdone its purpose. But that leaves people like you, who are capable of being on the ground, to go back to the original concept of why we're doing this all, how we live and why we live, and to do your part to honor the inherent freedom that has been the rallying cry, certainly in the United States, for as long as any of us have been alive, and to preserve that. This is a high calling, and you may not be interested in first at first, and you may find that you are dragged in unwillingly. You may find that you have to limit your role in some way. But I will tell you that the more central that your role is, the better you're likely to feel. And the closer you're likely to get to people, because the truth of Aquarius is that you're not in this alone, and that there are going to be peers who show up. But the central theme of Aquarius, which is at once the sign of groups and the sign of conformity, is also that it is the sign of quirky individuals who are stubborn about remaining themselves. And so the leadership cadre that forms with you or around you or in which you participate must be a group of individuals. And that's what's going to distinguish you from all the rest of what's happening in society, which is not about people who are committed to their individuality. It's not about, and I don't mean like, oh, I wear black or something like that. I mean really committed to learning and expressing who you are. And it takes a lot of courage and energy to stand up to those who would simply crush any form of this. It's a very strange thing that that we're seeing happen, though is an exaggerated form of things we've seen many times in the past. And so the first thing that you can do is to actually be and be committed to becoming who you are for your own sake and for the sake of an example. And you have substantial help doing this. The meeting of Jupiter and Saturn is no joke. It has got some real power behind it, some momentum, some weight, and some substance behind it. And it is a contrast of many different concepts, many ideas, including community life, spiritual life, corporate reality, government reality, and I think that there is a possible future of humans where we live in smaller communities than cities, and that even in this age, those cellular structures must form so that people have what they need to live, to take care of one another, whatever that is. Now, the interesting bit about Aquarius is that it is one of two signs that is profoundly connected to digital consciousness. And it would be easy for you to express all of this energy purely in digital form, purely on the internet. And it seems inevitable that there's going to be a dimension of that, right? That it's there, right? And it's available, and it's accessible. yet it is of supreme importance that you keep grounding these things in physical form on the physical plane, whether we're talking about sitting around a campfire or being in a seminar room or your living room or a nearby park or something like this, a pavilion, something that is a place where people can show up and be together. And you are one of a few signs that is serving as a magnet and no sign as powerfully as Sagittarius because of this full activation of the third house. The third house being right where we are, the stone's throw distance. And in this context, Aquarius to me would seem to be about people and not about technology. And when you start to peel back the layers of this rather incredible year in history that we've lived through, the emphasis on technology and everything being shocked and forced up to the digital level is impossible to miss. These are real people in a real place. So, if we think about this direct expression of cosmic origins on Earth, as if you are fully conscious of being from far away, having come to the Earth and landed in this place that can seem so strange, the question is, what do you do with this situation? How do you express the cosmic fire of your being in this world where people are, willing to fight over the most ridiculous things and seem unable to, like, get anything done or work together? And your chart has some ideas about that. And as far as I can translate it, the most straightforward one is that you came here to express the potential of who you are. That, in one sense, and maybe in every sense, because it's at the root of all other possibilities, is you fully committing to manifesting your potential as this human entity that you have become, showing up as. Perhaps of some other origin, some other type of consciousness, but ultimately human. And where we can explore this in your chart is in the fifth place, fifth house, the fifth sign from your ascendant or your sun, which is Aries. And where anyone has Aries is where they are the most inclined to actualize themselves. And that's what we're talking about. And remember that self-actualization is not really it's not really a thing. It used to be. It's not understood. It's not talked about. And it is alien and frightening to many. It cannot be alien and frightening to you, because when all is said and done, you don't have any other purpose. And anything you're going to do is going to require you to be either in the process of self-actualizing or to be like on the way or there. I mean, are you ever there? But there's a point where you've got traction. There's a point where you're actually climbing the rock and not afraid of falling. Aries in the fifth is about the adventure of being a self. It is about the curiosity needed to express that adventure, because something has to drive that. Now, it could be a lot of things. A lot of things motivate people. I don't think curiosity motivates people to be gangsters or, you know, Botox physicians or bus drivers. Many people are motivated by survival and sustenance. Not a plan that will work for you. The fifth house is the house of the personal adventure, having fun, enjoying life, your curiosity about existence, taking chances, and more than anything, in my cosmology, the creation of something, the act of being like God, because God's purpose is to create. And if we are created as part of this cosmic intelligence, we follow that cosmic purpose, and the highest thing that we can do is to create. And in any true act of creation, there is lots of self-creation that goes on. And so as you are curious about yourself and create yourself and then move into the creation of other things, or create other things and in the process discover a kind of hot vein of curiosity about yourself and your existence and the nature of your existence, this is when you are fully engaged in exploring and expressing your humanity. And then this, in turn, overflows into every other facet of existence, because it is you who are at the center of your existence. And if you have one of those existences where you're constantly pulled out of being the center of your existence, that is something to be mindful of and to work with and to address. Now, you have a lot of help right now. The help you have is in the form of two planets transiting your fifth house, which are slow movers. All the planets transiting your fifth are slow movers. There are three. And the most prominent of them is Chiron. And whatever its spiritual themes may be, and however it may manifest, what Chiron does is it provides a point of focus. It is a concentration of experience and consciousness that on one level is quite neutral. And yet, experience and consciousness have a way of being associated with healing. And this is something to work with. Aries wants to self-actualize under any circumstances. It does not always do that. Sometimes it conquers. Sometimes it is defeated. Sometimes it burns out. But when the energy of Aries is run in a fully aware and concentrated but modest tempo and temperature, you get a lot of potential. And there is something about the human experience that is in itself a healing process, because the human experience, when it wakes up to its reality, immediately recalls the fact of its own creation and the mystery of its own existence. And one of the things we see and experience going on in the world quite a bit is that mystery And the beauty of that question and the revelation of the connection that we have to creation being buried and smothered and encased in fear and what is called ego. So Aries can manifest as this thing called ego. Chiron's role is to burn through that thing called ego and get to self, get to reality, get to existence. And so the self-actualizing force in itself assists in this. It assists in what would seem to the ego like becoming, but really is just awareness of what one is, of what you are, and what connection you have. And yet, because it's Aries, you will keep expressing this as a self expressing and experiencing existence. Chiron gives you the ability to really thread the needle here and to challenge all of your old ideas about yourself and your capabilities, and to help reconcile all the old self-concepts that you had. And there can be hundreds of self-concepts that we drag around and that only serve to block reality. And we could say simply that Chiron in Aries, in your fifth house, is driving you to unblock and to fully connect with and fully express something different than you have known, and to get ever, ever closer to your core central reality. And this is not really an introspective thing as much as it is a self-expressive and self-creative thing. And so your participation in your creative process is your participation in your healing process, is your self-actualization and self-awareness. And that's what this completely glorious transit of Chiron through the fifth house in Aries is about. And where this journey has gone so far is not yet to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter, I believe, will happen when Chiron reaches a trine to the Great Attractor at about 14 degrees. The Great Attractor is now at about 1407, and that's not going to be for a couple of years. But since I'm being consistent about when I give an approximate date going to the exact date, let's look at that exact date. So when Chiron gets to ...1407, which is, I believe, the exact position, but we are close. No, it's not in 2050. I mean, it is in 2050, but it's not in 2050. Previous. Aries. Okay, I had set to the wrong sign. Okay. May 2nd, 2022. So there's a buildup going on to the spring of 2022. This is just a little over 2 years. So it's going to be 2 years to go crazy. Sorry, fast. And where things seem to be a little bit crazy. And that's my sense of a tap in. And up till then, what you're doing is you're preparing the ground of your being for this. And the preparation involves this thing that is part of this grand experiment that humanity is in right now, with all of this emphasis in Aquarius. So let me comment on that for a second, because the emphasis on Aquarius can go two ways. Aquarius has a way of creating a false or oppressive consensus. Consensus is an extremely oppressive form of decision-making when there's not a value structure existing beneath it, when there's not an understanding by everyone in the consensus of the purpose of what's happening, and an agreement on the level of purpose before there's an agreement on the level of what action to take. And that is not what happens most of the time. What happens most of the time is a consensus, a false consensus is imposed. And the reason that happens is that there's not enough people who are involved in a process of individuation. And your process of individuation is so pronounced that it would be nearly impossible for you to miss this. And the part you are playing in the cosmic orchestra is by translating yourself into a form of full awareness such that you actually can apprehend who you are and see what's going on around you and see what is going on in society, and at the same time begin to identify other people who are in this consciousness of, okay, I get it, I'm an individual and I'm part of something larger. Normally what happens with Aquarius is people want to be part of something larger and they give up being a person. They give up being an individual. And we're seeing this happen right now to a very frightening degree where even those who express their desire to be themselves and live their life their way are being told that they are antisocial. And then the truth of that cannot be litigated under the current rules, because the litigation process would expose the lie for what it is, that to be yourself is to be antisocial. One of the ways this is happening is through the overwhelming freaking getting hosed down with technology. And one of the places where the most damage has been done in this era of electrical technology, which we could say begins with the telegraph right around the time of the Civil War and continues with the telephone in the late 19th century, mid to late 19th century, and then the gradual application of an electrical grid, and then then radio, and then television, and then all these other electrical media have been very, very hard on people as individuals and have created this massive tribalism where being oneself is not acceptable. In tribal reality, there is not room for distinct individuals unless you're the chief's daughter, the lead warrior, or the shaman, and then everybody else is part of the tribe. And aberrations are considered to be problematic. And somebody's really weird, they become a kind of a soothsayer, or they might get a special role if they can't conform. What we're now finding is there's just this plastering over of and obliteration of individuality. And so what you are doing by individuating through Chiron in the fifth house is you are expressing human potential not just for yourself. You're expressing human potential for the human race. You are becoming a kind of a template or an archetype. There's a concept that I'm trying to think of that is like template or archetype that reveals the potential, the possibility in a direct and real way, such that others can learn and adopt the method of self-learning. And you may be in a place where you are among very few people who can do this, or you may be in a place where you are so possessed of this need to express your individuality that others just simply can't relate to it and you don't really see it going on anywhere else. And that can be very difficult because the layers upon layers of fear and guilt and shame and oppression and just simply the, well, it's all fear of self-expression are very dense. Very dense, and that is the sensation of the human race just sleepwalking, that so many who have observed it have just felt compelled to comment on. And so this is why it's a healing process. It's a healing process because you are healing something innate in the human experience, or that has been imposed on the human experience over many, many, many long generations. And choose your mythology of how that happened. Some fall from grace, or alien intervention in our DNA to make us into slaves, or the cancer of religion turning us into some form of slaves. The cheap way. The cheap way is a priest. The expensive way is a regiment of the army. The cheap way is a priest controls the whole town with guilt. And so the religious mystery of existence becomes exploited as a method of oppression, and then the discovery of the beauty of your existence becomes this revolutionary act that has nothing to do with apolitical reality. It's just revolutionary in that you are overthrowing personally what has been put on you. And this will change all of your relationships. It will change your relationship to yourself and to existence. And this is why it is a healing process. And this means, said another way, that you are discovering your humanity. And your humanity for you is about being conscious of your cosmic origins. And this is... in the context of conventional religion and even psychology, quite blasphemous. Like, well, who the fuck are you? Well, yeah, you're you. That's who you are. Now, there is another point in here that tells the story from a similar standpoint. The existence of sexuality on Earth is, crucial to the whole experiment, because pretty much everything that we see and observe reproduces sexually. So a lot of the microbiome, a bunch of things don't. Well, kind of nothing does. Yeast and amoebas and things like this. But humans, with our genetic programming for apoptosis and senescence, that is to say genetically programmed death, get the privilege of sexual reproduction, and then by extension get the privilege of experiencing sexuality. And what Wilhelm Reich and others have noted is that we have an inversion of our concept of sexuality in believing that it is first about reproduction and then second about an experience of consciousness. Now, this is in many ways philosophical, but humans are in an unusual role in the biome, in that we use or can use our sexuality as a vehicle to many other forms of consciousness and relating and experience and religious experience and creative experience. And the sad fact is that one of the ways that that priest who can do the job of a whole regiment of the army gets control over people, and one of the ways that the family that does not want unruly children gets control over people is to suppress and crush and dismember their sexuality, to shame it out of existence. And then this derails the entire process of self-actualization, so that when you make contact with your process of self-actualization, you are very likely to tap a kind of a geyser of a suppressed sexual energy that's going to need a form of expression along with all the other forms of creative expression that you are going to find in this fifth house exploration, this fifth house journey, this fifth house dare, fifth house game that you are on. Salacia moves much more slowly than Chiron. They've had their conjunction. I think it was exact in 2019 and 2020. Salacia got into Aries a little bit sooner than Chiron did, and then Chiron moves more quickly. And so it was in the second 2 years of Chiron's journey through Aries where that conjunction happened, and set off a process. It sprouted something, a seed. Long ago planted, sprouted, and is growing. And Chiron in the fifth is inherently sexually curious. Chiron in the fifth inherently wants experience. And so part of the reclaiming of inherent humanity from all of this digital technocracy is going to be the actual claiming of your immaculate physical human passion and curiosity. And once again, we're talking about a healing process, because the thing that many, many humans are healing from is all of this imposition of guilt and suppression and oppression that in itself turns into this kind of like zombie-like need to do this to other people. And so one of the facts about this transit for you is that you, part of what you are doing in affirming your own life is affirming the life and the life force, the vitality, the curiosity, and the celebration of existence of every being that you are conscious of. It doesn't mean you're going to be evangelizing, but it means that in your heart you affirm their path, their individuality, their expression, their experience. And there are many points of resonance of being curious about what others are curious about, being turned on by what others are turned on by. This should be very easy for you to be curious about or turned on by or, you know, interested at least in their creations. But remember that this type of awakening can have an alienating quality that can leave you feeling alone in many ways. And that aloneness is part of the cosmic mystery of separation and healing separation and recognizing that separation is in itself an illusion. And that illusion comments on what we're doing here in the first place. How did we get here? Where are we? This peeling back process is happening in a number of other places in your chart. There are two that I would like to comment on. Those both take place in Earth signs. In fact, we might get into Virgo too. So that would be that would be cool. Because the Earth signs are have an important role in your life. They provide something for you to, well, let's put it this way. The thing about where we are, it is that it is the Earth. And when you think about the, how strange it is that bits of Earth just got up and started dancing and writing books and making movies and flying around in airplanes. I mean, that's pretty wild, right? I'm sure you've thought this through, like, you know, what happened? Did like lightning strike a pond and the amino acids just sort of rearranged and were like, oh, hello, we're alive. And then like bazillion years later, a frog crawls out. What the fuck happened? Right. So, meanwhile, here we are on the other end of that, like on the front of the wave, looking ahead at we don't know what. And one of the things we're caught in is a whole shit ton of human nature. And one of the ways we see this expressed in your chart and the kind of drama of your interplay with human nature is in the Earth signs. And so when you think of the Earth signs, remember that, you know, you are the pond that was struck by lightning or, I think having thought about this like a bunch and having thought about this a bunch is that it is more likely that life on Earth was seeded here by something. Like it didn't necessarily start here. And I know that's a cop out in one level because it had to start somewhere. But this is a mystery. So in any event, we are bunches of earth and water that are dancing around, writing books, making movies, flying around in airplanes and deciding what to have for dinner and raising children and all that stuff. And the most powerful earth sign in your chart is Capricorn. It's the sign that succeeds yours. It follows your sign. And Capricorn and Sag make this interesting interplay because it's often the direct experience that becomes the direct experience of the cosmos in Sag that becomes institutionalized in Capricorn. So as Carl Gustav Jung said, religion is the substitute for the religious experience. The religious experience is you're walking around in the woods at 3 a.m. and the sky lights up in this unusual form of light you've never seen. And there's this sound vibration that you can't really hear, but you can hear it. And there's a sense of a presence and no one's there to witness it with you. You're just having this experience and you're not any drugs. You're just experiencing it. That's a religious experience. Religious experience is the direct witness of some form of the violation of the laws of space and time. The people who have those things happen are called saints. And then the people who have religion, as opposed to the religious experience, sit with a rosary bead in their hands in a church, saying, skatiate Hail Marys and 25 Our Fathers to be forgiven for being human. So that's the relationship of Capricorn to Sagittarius. Right, think about it. The mystery of the great spirit manifesting in the forest versus the person praying for forgiveness in a church. Now, so this is a step-down transformer for Sagittarius. The second is as important as the first in that it is the fundamental constitution by which you express your values. So your values are contained in the second house. And it's a step down because Sagittarius in itself is so freaking awesome. I mean, we will include the Great Attractor video. And if you don't see it on your page or the resources page, please email me. But I'm going to read all my corner notes on these charts. And so you take the Great Attractor on the one hand in Sag, this thing with 100,000 galaxies, this what seems to me like this galactic being, this life form that spreads megaparsecs across the universe. And then Capricorn, a church, government institution, pay your taxes. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. And so one of that, it's one of the things that deceives you into thinking that you're not who you are. And so you might say that one of your roles is not as exciting as the fifth house. Right, where you know you can like, you know, lock yourself in a room with some paints or something like that, or a bunch of electric instruments, and you know, friggin' turn it on. The Capricorn second is more like finding yourself locked in incarnation and needing to pick the lock and get out. How am I going to escape from this? And so there is often a sense of oppression that Sagittarius can feel. And that sense of oppression can lead to oppressive experiences. that can be very difficult to get out of. And the first way to get out of them is to not get into new ones. And the second way to get out of them is to continue to explore your curiosity, your passion, your sexuality, your artisticness, and you're willing to take chances, one of which is to push people by your existence. And it can feel like driving your parents crazy. David Bowie said, you've got your parents in a whirl. You're not sure if you're a boy or a girl. Multiply that by the thousand forms that it can take. You might have this feeling that if you are who you are, suddenly everyone else is somehow challenged and not able to be who they are. And that's sort of right, but not really, because what you're doing is being yourself. And you can't really be anyone else, and you're not doing anyone any favors by not being yourself. And when anyone in a scenario wakes up, that is a powerful testimony to the fact of waking up, the need to waking up, the possibility of everyone being asleep except the person waking up. And we get into one of these one-eyed men in the land of the blind things, where the solution to the one-eyed man in the land of the blind is to blind him so that other people don't have to deal with the fact that someone else can see all this stuff. And so when you wake up inside that Capricorn value structure, this highly traditional, oh, well, I better do it exactly like it's done on Earth, forget about the disaster it's wrought, which is not really a conscious process most of the time. Most of the time it's like, that's it. This is what you're doing. It's quite painful. Now, there has been much assistance in this realm, much assistance in the form, first of all, of Pluto making its way through Capricorn for the past. Now we're up to really 13 years, because it begins in approximately January, I think exactly in January of 2008. We all remember that time, the time of the financial collapse and the beginning of the Great Recession and the McCain versus Obama campaign and AIG and the Big Short and the subprime mortgage crisis. This was Pluto beginning to unravel the establishment. And it had been tried many times before, hardly ever so successfully. And then Pluto at that point was just getting done and went on and on and on and on to unravel what had been so carefully assembled, all the traditions, all the expectations. And then we're living in this entirely postmodern world where there is no up, down, backwards, or forwards. And this has all been aided and abetted by what I think is the prime mover in our era, and potentially in the modern era, of electricity, unraveling all this stuff that's classical, where there is some objective concept of right, and where we expect something to exist in theory that it's also extant in reality. And Pluto, many factors leading to Pluto, but especially Pluto in the last 13 years, has just demolished this. And we are living in this very difficult time called the Kali Yuga, where we're seeing this demolition running at full strength, intentionally taken up, and used against us, all of us. Very few people it's not being used against, and we don't really know if they're not eating one another's children for dinner. We don't know what's going on that level. We get little clues about it, of this non-elected kind of pan-governmental reality that we are now living in, where one organization somewhere, Geneva or somewhere, sends out a memo and the entire world complies. That is completely freaking weird. And it is the result of the breakdown of structure. And part of the breakdown of the structure is the breakdown of self, the whole notion of self. This can be very helpful on one level if it is used creatively and if the opportunity is seen. So you have tremendous freedom from these oppressive structures right now. And yet you may feel like you need to exist within their memory or their shadow or what's left of their morphogenetic field or whatever it might be, because it takes courage to challenge the places that these really exist, which is an internalized reality. So this self-becoming, self-actualization, curiosity, you know, art, sex, experiment of self-becoming, focused curiosity about yourself and the need to heal your cosmic connection is by far your most important tool. It is the thing that will get you to just jump from one place to the next. However, in this realm, in this remnant of the, what we might call the remnant of the classical world, there are three very important minor planet points. One of them, and they are related to ancestry. And so without going too far into their delineation and spending a lot of time on this, which I've done a number of other places, you know, you might just listen to other readings, especially dip into some of the older Capricorn readings from the past couple of years, not too far in the past, but for Pholus and Quasar, maybe the past 2 years, and for Pluto, you can go all the way back to 2007, when I was first mapping out the Pluto in Capricorn territory. Using these tools to journey back in time. So when we see all the like completed structure of the human experience, seemingly up till now, there is a history to this. There is there's a way to directly tap into the ancestral and karmic and genetic history and to journey back in time. And there's, you know, ordinary ways to do this, like family tree stuff, that only gets you so far, right? Because it's interesting how quickly our family disappears. Like, who can even name all their great grandparents, right? That's really strange, right? The parents of your parents' parents, who can even name those people? You only have 8 great grandparents, assuming a fairly conventional upbringing. Who can even name them? I haven't tried to do that, and I'm pretty sure I cannot name all of my great grandparents. And so that is only 3 generations back that we forget. Now, one convenient thing about Pholus here is that it is at that generation that you become responsible for the karma of them. Beyond that, people you've never met, never heard of in different countries and in whole different times and places, well, we might identify certain key individuals in that karmic chain. But what Pholus is saying is, let's go back to the great-grandparents' generation and find out what was going on around there. That there's something about their construct, their reality model, that you're living with in the form of this Capricorn thing. So it's not all like, you know, Columbia University and the parchment and Delphic Oracle, whatever it might be. Let's just go right back to like Poland or Ireland. Who were these people and what did they live through? This is where you're going to find a lot of information about the thought constructs that you are confronted by, dealing with, potentially trapped in. The second crucial point is Quasar. Quasar takes us back to the origins of the tribe. Now, this is studyable also. This is workable also, because once you identify your tribe, if you can do that, right? If you may be someone with like 6 or 8 different nationalities. You know, you hear the people, I'm Irish, Welsh, and German, and Polish and French and all this stuff, and Native American, right? That often gets thrown into the mix. Somewhere, so scenario A, you can identify your tribe. You're Irish. Your ancestors are almost all Irish. Or you're German-Italian. That gets it down to two. So this is similar things. It's studyable. The history of the Italian people is knowable. History of the German people is knowable. And these things are interesting. It might not be knowable in that there's so many different mixtures involved that you've got to find the one you relate to. And the thing to do with this information is to take the mythology of that tribe and find out what the creation myth is for that tribe. So it's not, if it's Irish, we're not talking about Catholic. That's an add-on later, or Protestant. That's an add-on later. We're talking about the Aboriginal version, the pre-Christian version of the mythology. Those stones set in the ground, the earth worship era. What's that story? And how far back can you get it? You know, you might find that you're Navajo, and the Navajo attribute their existence on Earth to some event. What's that story? So you will find freedom from this Capricornian maze by, instead of escaping forward, backward. Go backward in time and see, because Capricorn does contain history. So it's like, well, what's this the history of then? Capricorn contains history. You want to find out the history. And I assure you that this will be liberating and enlightening. And if you're an astrology student, collect birthdays as best you can. You're going to get to the point where can't be done, where all you're looking at is mythology and mythography. So there's these two influences, right? One is a local influence back to the great grandparents. The other one is a distant one where you go back to the tribe's claim of how it got here. It's fascinating stuff. Okay, one other point, Ixion. New entry into Capricorn. Ixion, by the way, has spent a long time in Sagittarius. It's now entering Capricorn. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but Ixion is the, essentially, it is the murderous impulse in the human experience. The human experience travels along the way over the eons with what seems to be this amoral, murderous, genocidal thing walking along beside it. And doesn't like to acknowledge this very much. And it's erupted in full form right now. Full form. And so one of the things to do is just to be aware of this. And also, as you go back in time, so if you're going to your great-grandparents' generation, how did that manifest for them? Well, if it's Irish, it can be about what genocidal influence of the British Crown exploited the Irish people and caused these non-existent famines to create all this starvation, and therefore this injuring of the tribal soul. And you just be aware of it, and you slowly make peace with it, and you, rather than casting it off, you kind of give it a voice and very gently integrate it into your awareness. Sixth house is going to be your rebellion against the conventional work ethic. There is a work ethic in our society. In the United States, the reality is it's the Protestant work ethic. It is kind of boring and Calvinist, and your role is just to basically be one of God's little worker ants. And this is a work ethic to rebel against. Uranus is helping you rebel against it. There's a number of ways to do that. One of them is to just essentially follow the teaching of Chiron and Salacia in Aries and have a creative revolution for yourself. Now, this does not necessarily make it easy to navigate the economy, but you, this same principle gives you a utility of inventiveness. So work both sides of that, the revolutionary rebellious side and the inventive side, because you've got to invent your way forward with the new conditions that you create by rebelling. And one of the things you're rebelling against is just simply this value placed on this, this like your whole, the whole purpose of your life is to work and there's nothing else there and you're not going to have any fun. That, and you can get caught in that. That's why this fire sign activity is so crucial for you, to keep the fire of your passion, your individuality, your curiosity, your sexuality stoked. The third earth sign is Virgo. And this has always struck me as being one of the most interesting places about supposedly a broad brush Sagittarius, right? Don't give me the details. Well, what Virgo says is that success on the physical plane demands your involvement in the details, a almost granular level of executive function where your role is to manage your own success and to remember that in the fashion of Virgo. First thing, we must kiss the ass of the goddess. All wealth comes from the earth. There's no true success in an integrated life without respecting the earth that makes all of this possible. So keep that in mind. Then in the spirit of Virgo, there is a diligence required. There is a different kind of work ethic required. There is the planning it and doing it, and there is the follow-through involved. This is an integrative function. Virgo is one of the places in your chart, which is your 10th place, right? This is reputation, responsibility, the power that you have, and the leadership in family situations and employment situations, corporate situations. And this is one of the places where you can, if you choose to, integrate your reality. Now, I have known many Sagittarians who didn't like this part. It's quite unappealing to your inherently bold spirit. And it can also get absorbed into just routines and grinds. When the purpose of this is serving someone else, usually, or when the purpose is at least not collaborative between you and something else. And so you want either collaboration where you get to you get some ability to create with the resources of others, or where you just simply take over your life and you're going to figure it out yourself. And a lot of people have done this, and a lot of them didn't have high school diplomas. They were able to do it. There is a certain kind of orthodoxy involved in Virgo, and on the 10th, it is about being very careful with the power that you accrue in the process of your wholly self-inventive journey. Because when you're really working your chart, you will be inventing your entire reality and all the methods by which you do so. And what Virgo is saying is, when that reaches a point of momentum, when that reaches critical mass, you must be really mindful of the way in which you apply power, and that you take a truly holistic view, which, by the way, Chiron is insisting that you do, which is to take an integrative and holistic view, remembering the relationship of all things to all things and the relationship of consciousness to everything. And Virgo is saying, okay, we are all essentially sprouting out of the earth, and we will all of this will be absorbed back into the earth, and our conscious time span is very short, even at the longest. You know, even if you can think of galactic year of 26,000 years or a precession of the equinox at some similar period of time, it all just is reabsorbed. And so here we come back to the concept you have of the purpose of the whole human experiment, not just the details of the whole human experiment in, as you perceive them, not the method, not the steps along the way, but pulling back and considering the entire purpose of the purpose of the entire human experiment. What is it that for this brief instant humans are on this planet doing this thing? And you may decide that it is essentially meaningless. I don't think the evidence argues for that. And I know that it's possible to take a kind of a nihilistic view, and to, you know, to realize how dense people are and all this Ixion shit, where there's always another tyrant trying to have a genocide and get everyone thinking it's the next best thing since French fries. I, in my explorations and don't know how long, but a while, think the evidence argues that there is actual meaning to the human experience, in that it has a purpose that it is serving as part of something larger, whether it is a conditioning of consciousness, whether it is a dimension that that our vital force passes through on the way somewhere else. And by the way, I think a lot of this mystery is held in the Great Attractor, in right in the center of your sign, which is the way that everything in our part of the universe is flowing. Everything seems to be migrating toward the Great Attractor. You are very close to the source. It may be so close that you cannot see it and can't experience it, but this is the hide and seek game of the spiritual journey, the hide and seek game of self-actualization. In truth, you're already here. You made it a long way to get here and to be here. What is the purpose and meaning that you give to your human experience? All right. I'll catch you over in some other sign. With love. Bye for now.